Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Crit Blog podcast. And this is a very, very special one. We're recording just a few hours after one of the biggest upsets in T20 World Cups, USA beating Pakistan, which I think has burst this World Cup into life. We've got Americans on X or Twitter asking what cricket is and the fact that they're surprised they have a cricket team. But it's created awareness about this World Cup. The ICC couldn't market it properly, but the USA cricket team have taken it into their own hands. Charbel here from Crick Blog in Australia at the moment, but my co-host Nash is actually in America right now. He's there for the World Cup and being with family. Nash, how's things, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. The weather is absolutely brilliant here. And, you know, we are in New York and the weather has been really hot, sunny, a bit cloudy. But yeah, the game yesterday with India and Ireland was absolutely wonderful, just from a cricketing point of view. And we'll talk about that a bit more. But first, what a brilliant game between Pakistan and USA. USA coming home with the goods, you know, Saurabh Netravarkar with the ball in the super over. Yeah. And Monang Patel with the bat. And you know, they've done a brilliant job of putting USA cricket on the map.
Yep.
And you know, everyone in America is now taking notice of what's happening, and I'm scrolling through Twitter and X, and you know, these American sports accounts all talking about cricket is just brilliant to see. And we'll go through a few tweets as well later on in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. What a period it's been for USA, because even before this World Cup, they beat Bangladesh 2-1 in a T20 series. That's a massive scalp for them. They've been in good form. They really have been in good form. I remember telling you last week in our preview show, I was very worried about Pakistan, very worried, but I thought it was the Ireland game that could decide who goes through. I didn't think they'd lose to USA, with all due respect to USA, of course. I thought Pakistan would still have enough, but goodness me, they're playing terribly.
I mean, I saw the post-match press conference with Babar Azam and him again. As you know, I wasn't surprised for, you know, when he blamed the bowlers for not doing the job. I mean, you played 44 runs from 43 balls in a T20 international. That is, you are to blame. Yeah. You are the captain. You are the opener. You are to blame, not the bowlers. They tried their best. You know, in the last 10 overs, everyone, all their bowlers came with the goods again. And, you know, Mohammad Amir with that final over bowled brilliantly to tie the game. Final over, the penalty mid over. And then even Mohammad Amir in that super over, I don't know what he was doing, but
crazy
wides, the running between the wickets from Aaron Jones and Harmit Singh was absolutely brilliant. That is perhaps the best zero from zero I've seen from a batter. Harmit Singh, you know, his running between the wickets was absolutely brilliant. And I will put this loss for Pakistan on the batters and not as much on the bowlers.
Definitely. It's a whole team thing. It's a very sloppy performance, catching the highlights this morning and the reactions and the commentary. It's a whole team performance. I worried about Pakistan losing two matches at home to a very understrength New Zealand in the lead up to this World Cup. The batting for me, I know there's been low-scoring matches in this World Cup, but Dallas has been by far the best pitch.
Yes.
Of any ground in this tournament. And you could just see the way they bat is very conservative, quite outdated. They're not quite playing a very free-flowing, exciting brand of cricket.
Yep.
And you get done in this World Cup, especially by a team that's got a lot of confidence. They're playing good cricket, the US. The likes of Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, what a start to his tournament.
Absolutely.
At the top, Aaron Jones has been unbelievable. And the US bowlers, led by Saurabh Netravarkar, you know, they've got Ali Khan there. They've got some good experience in that side. They'll catch you. They'll catch you short if you're not on your game.
Absolutely. And what a brilliant catch there to dismiss Mohammad Rizwan from Stephen Taylor as well. And, you know, like you said, Aaron Jones, who from Barbados originally, now playing in US. Then you got Andreas Gauss as well from South Africa, playing for the US again. He batted brilliantly as well for 30. You know, he scored 35 from 26. He was going at a good pace, but that was again halted by Harry Shroff when he got him out. But then a good finish in the end from Aaron Jones to, you know, to get to that total. And then Nitish Kumar a good 40. I wouldn't say good, but there's if you have been, I suppose you haven't followed Indian politics at the moment, but there was a massive election last week in India, for the central government. And then because the I'll just give you a quick spiel, because the main government who did not get the full majority,
Right.
they had to rely on a guy who goes by the name Nitish Kumar.
Okay.
somewhat rely. They had to rely on a couple of small regional parties, basically, and one of them
Right.
was Nitish Kumar to get them over the line, you know, over the majority seats
Gotcha.
to form an alliance, basically, as it happens in Australia as well. So it was so funny to see all the Indians talking about Nitish Kumar and making resemblance with the Indian politics because Monang Patel, the captain, is a Gujarati, and so is Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India. So there was again a Gujarati relying on Nitish Kumar
Give a
to.
connections.
It was just brilliant. You know, Twitter is such a
Fallen into
funny,
play.
funny app during these times, especially when we, you know, when such things happen. Because there was, I'll just quickly touch on a tweet that I saw earlier, connecting Saurabh Netravalkar's profession. As we all know, he's now he's a principal member of the technical team at Oracle, so he's a software engineer by
Oracle,
trade.
yeah.
And
Yes.
I saw a tweet, you know, no, say we're from Crick BC at Crick BC on Twitter, which is nerves question mark. What nerves? Netravalkar from Oracle has done database migrations without taking backups. So
It's true. This bowling a super over is nothing.
absolutely. That's absolutely brilliant. And
Though you face those pressures in your day-to-day job that you get into an environment like that, and also USA are very used to this high-pressure cricket. That's for associate nations. We spoke to Saurabh a few years ago, and he spoke about the fact that associate nations have this pressure all the time because to try qualify for these tournaments, you've got these knockout high-stakes games. So I think that's really helped the US so far in this tournament. And
Absolutely.
a huge credit to the Australian Stuart Law, the coach of the US, great coach. He's done great things in his career so far. When he was coach of Bangladesh 10, 12 years ago, they were going really well. And now look what he's doing for the US. It's just magnificent to see. So,
And Gary Kirsten sitting there in the Pakistan dugout has now seen two different spectrums, you know, at two ends of the spectrum in when it comes to Asian cricket teams. You know, he saw the success with India back in 2011, and now he's seen Pakistan. But also, going by history, if we see, you know, the trend with Pakistan cricket team, this would very well set them up to actually go on and win the T20 World Cup. You just never know with that team.
you just never know with them, is but they've got to beat India now, you think. If they lose to India, it puts them in a very difficult position to qualify because the USA are already on four. India will then be on four. They'll be stuck on zero with games again, or game against Ireland
And
left
Canada.
and Canada. So,
And then
yeah, then they'll need
USA have
other
to
results to
play,
go their way.
that's correct. USA have to play India, which, you know,
And Ireland.
USA, which India is the stronger team, so everyone will be going for India. But again, as USA turned up today, if India sort of have a bad day, it could very well put USA in a strong position in that group. And then USA have to play I think Canada is left after, sorry, Ireland is left after that. So
So USA have got India and Ireland,
yeah.
left.
And that
So
and
it's
that
not, I don't think.
let me tell you, that Ireland game for USA could prove to be sort of the game which swings this group here or there, because if Pakistan
Absolutely.
win the remaining games, and then USA could manage a win from either India or Ireland, that could sort of
They're in.
you know, that could be a brilliant battle at the end.
Absolutely. They'll be in. They'll be in, regardless. So it'd be incredible if they're able to do it. The Canada Ireland game is absolutely critical now tomorrow. 12:30, I think, Australian time. That's a massive game now. So all of a sudden, it's blown the group wide open. It looked like this group was going to be the most certain, along with the Australia England group, in terms of the India Pakistan going through. But Pakistan just not playing good cricket. Not must win for Pakistan against India, but you don't want to lose heavily.
Well, I would say it's a must win. I would say it's a must win given the...
The thing is, the reason why I say that is because they can still qualify even if they lose.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, I think they really have to need to try win it. And they, but I can't see them doing it. But you never know on that New York surface. It's all is happening on that pitch, man.
Yep. Well, look, to be honest, I'll disagree with you there because I'll think, you know, Pakistan, given it's India again, the huge moment that it is, the huge game. But I get why you're saying that.
I'm talking mathematically.
Yeah.
I'm talking mathematically. You're talking also have absolutely.
But there's Ireland after that who have been giant killers previously and they
That's
have
true.
Beaten Pakistan on a couple of occasions. So that
you're right.
They want to get all the points that they can and you know, Pakistan, given the loss today, would look to do that.
Absolutely. And look, I agree with you. I'm speaking, you know, mathematically, even if they do lose the game, it's not curtains per se. They could still make it. But yeah, I agree. They need to try find a way to beat India and get back on track. And it would be a very Pakistan thing if they were to do it.
I'll quickly touch on what Babar Azam said after in the press conference. And he was, I don't agree with the statement at all. He said, all credit to the USA. They played better than us in all three departments. Little bit of moisture in the pitch. It was also two-paced. As a professional, you need to assess the conditions, which, yes, but after you have assessed the conditions, you should sort of stick to your plan and play at a pace where it helps your team, which he did not. And I don't think it was really that two-paced. I mean, yesterday, India versus Ireland, that was a horrible pitch. That was a dangerous pitch. But today it was people could play freely. You know, the American captain showed how to play on that pitch, and even Shadab Khan was going pretty well during that mid-over period for Pakistan. And I don't know where this statement has come from for Babar Azam. And that's the problem.
Sounds like a bit of an excuse.
It is an excuse. He is always blamed. Can't remember. He's actually blamed the batters or the batsmen. At any stage.
Yeah, I think, look, he said that they were outplayed in all three facets, which is fair. But yeah, they really should be doing better.
Yep.
The Texas conditions has been, well, as I said before, the best in this World Cup.
Another tweet that just came up was by Paritosh Bhire at paritosh._bhire. Losing to plumbers and farmers is one thing. How do you lose to software engineers?
Oh my gosh.
It's just brilliant.
The trolling would be unreal.
It's funny. I just saw the entire YouTube live stream of Wase and Habib if you know them.
I did see some clips on Twitter that were losing their minds. But I can't understand what they're saying, but I'd really love to.
It's brilliant.
It looks funny.
All you can. I don't even know how to compare to an Australian equivalent because there isn't. Like they're just top notch. They're just a different level.
Gold. Oh man. Anyway, so that group is blown wide open, and we'll see what happens in there. We'll review next week what goes on over the next few days. In the next group. You've got at the moment Scotland and Namibia playing.
Yes.
And Namibia looking well on top. I think Scotland 4 for 73, chasing 156 past the halfway point in the innings. So Namibia could go two wins in that group with England having a washout. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there. So Scotland, Richie Berrington and Michael Leeska in there at the moment. So lots of work for them to do on a pitch that's offering spin.
It is,
It's slow. So very, very interesting finish potentially in that one as well. There's been some thrillers. That could be one of them. On to our teams, Australia and India. We'll touch on India first. Very dominant victory against Ireland, who always going to be up against it, against that attack on that pitch. I mean, talk to me about that pitch first. You were there at the ground, watching the game. Mate, lots of criticism for it, rightly so.
Rightly so. And, you know, watching from the sidelines, it was pretty evident that the pitch was two-paced and it was just, that's why I messaged you. I think From the sidelines, it looked like it had a lot of spongy bounce. It was uneven, and that's why I messaged you saying, "It does. Is it just me, or you know, from the telly, it's
yeah,
the same as well?" And
it looked like way for the South Africa Sri Lanka game as well. Just uneven bounce as well. There was a ball marker Jansen bowled to Pratim Nisanka in the first over of that game off a good length. It just reared up past him, and Clinton the Cox jumping and taking it over his head. So.
And that was the case yesterday as well. There were a couple of length balls that Siraj and Arshdeep were bowling, and Rishabh Pant was taking it over his head, and you know he had to really make an effort. And every one of us in the crowd was going, "Where did that come from?" You know, it was just surprising to see, because the batter did sort of look comfortable, but he wasn't sure of, you know, which, does he go back or does he go on the front foot? So that was really scary to see, because everyone was celebrating and people started cheering when Ireland was scoring runs because they wanted to see India bat as long as possible.
Oh, interesting.
I was a bit nervous because I was a bit quiet when the tailenders were scoring runs for Ireland, because I was like, if it goes, you know, if Ireland get a good start with their bowling department, it could really go either way. And that was
110.
One thing I was.
110 or something like that could be tricky on that.
Exactly. But all credit to Rishabh Pant as well, who finished the match with a bang. It was good to see him.
And Rohit Sharma played well. Rohit Sharma,
he did. Credit where it's due. Rohit Sharma played well. Jasprit Bumrah, what a bowler again. I mean, we have spoken about him so many times, and he just comes out and
play him on a flat pitch, and you get him on a pitch like that, man, Ireland will be thinking, what did they do to deserve this?
Exactly. I hope they really sort the pitch issue out, but you know, the next game there,
outfield issue as well, man. It's the outfield. It's so slow. Like
it looked lush when we were there, like from the sidelines, but the ball wasn't carrying at all. The first shot, Ireland opener played, you know, a good back foot punch, and it just didn't go. They were not running, and everyone thought, oh, it's four, but it just stopped. Like it wasn't going. It wasn't flowing smoothly.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. And I mean, Andy Flower said the pitch is bordering on dangerous, and there's some games there to come. Be interesting to see how it plays, whether it settles down or not, but there's no signs of that yet, which is disappointing. In terms of Australia,
look, it's sorry, just to go on that,
go ahead.
It's going to be really difficult to get the pitch correct, because obviously they are playing a game there tomorrow, Canada versus Ireland. They're playing a game there on the 8th of June, Netherlands versus South Africa, and then immediately on the 9th of June, they play India versus Pakistan again. So it's going to be really interesting.
These are big games as well.
Exactly. So, you know, Netherlands versus South Africa, it could go either way. So, you know. It could. And
it could.
Yeah, so it's really difficult to see how they are going to get the pitch right in time.
Yeah. Bit of a disappointment. But yeah, some big games to come that'll shape the groups. Speaking of Australia, solid enough performance in the game against Oman. I didn't think it'd be an absolute hammering. I thought the conditions would bring the two teams closer together. And it felt that way. 3 for 50 after about 10 or 11 overs didn't look great, with Matt again out first ball to a great catch this time. But Stoinis played a great knock, and Warner, we talk about Smith not being in the squad and not having that anchor, but David Warner has been playing that anchor role, and I thought he did a good job in that game yesterday. And then Stoinis was absolutely brilliant, absolutely outstanding to take the game away. Then Australia were professional enough with the ball, did what they needed to do, didn't exert too much energy, and move on to the next game. Just a question on Mitch Stark. I was watching it on mute, and I was quite nervous that he was limping around everywhere, but I think it's what I've heard, he's just cramped. So I hope that's still the case. Because if Australia make the business end of the tournament, you want a player like that in your team who's such a big game player, as we saw in the recent IPL and as we've seen so many tournaments previously. So fingers crossed for him. But what did you make of Australia?
Shaky at the start, but I think given it's Australia, someone was bound to step up, and it was Marcus Stoinis this time. So once they crossed 150, I was like, you know, it's in Australia's it's in Australia's end. So it was a pretty easy game in the end for Australia. But Oman
Oman
did
showed good
go
signs.
good signs, absolutely good signs, and good fielding. So far, the associate nations, the sort of the weaker sides, have fielded brilliantly, better than some of the top sides, and it's really good to see as well.
You feel that's an aspect of the game that the associates work really hard on, because that's the one where you can really compete. Bowling and batting, you're going to be naturally less talented or less experienced than the top teams. It's your fielding where you can really close the gap. So I agree with you on that one. And I think for Australia as well, we had a lot of players just recently join the squad like a few days ago because of the IPL, like Cummins, Stark, and these guys. They all went home, came back after the IPL. So it's been quite a crazy schedule for everyone, but particularly for those Australian players. So it'll take a bit of time to get into the rhythm. So I don't mind getting the win on the board. Not looking amazing, but you don't have to look amazing at this time of the tournament. It's about getting it right at the back end of the tournament. That's what Australia
Absolutely.
did at last year's One Day World Cup. It'll be interesting to see what happens at this T20 World Cup. One thing I would say, though, I would like to see Ashton Agar fit in the team somewhere. I don't know for who. I don't know how he gets in. Maybe for one of the seamers, but
That's
after that, they need him
one
out.
question I wanted to ask you is, as we get into the pointy end of the tournament, Adam Zampa and Glenn Maxwell could really come into play because the pitches will start getting slower as long as they're used. And then do you see Ashton Agar sort of making sort of an appearance somewhere?
He has to. Potentially could be over someone like Tim David, which look, I like Tim David. He's a match winner. He can win your games with his finishing. But if you wanted to leave someone out, I don't know if Australia would leave out a specialist fast bowler like Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, and Ellis, and these guys in the big games. But if you want Agar in there, but if conditions dictate it, you probably need someone like Ashton Agar in the team. That's a question for Australia to look at going forward.
But you have to also remember that Ellis does, sorry, not Ellis, Ashton Agar does give you that batting option as well.
He
So you
does.
could very well see, if they want to elongate their batting lineup, you could very well see sort of them
True.
going with Agar instead of an Ellis.
That's potentially, yeah. Then it could be Cummins that's left out as well. And will Australia be willing to do that? Or Hazelwood or someone like that? Will Australia be willing to do that? I think if conditions dictate it, you've got to make the tough calls. Because I think the pitches are only going to get slower. They're going to spin more. And Agar, and if you have Agar, Zampa, and Maxwell there, I think that gives us a very, very good chance of restricting teams. We'll see
Absolutely,
what happens there.
absolutely.
And hopefully we can beat England in the next game. They had a washout. And if we can beat England in the next game, put them under some pressure. So we'd love to see that as Aussies, no doubt about it. So we'll touch on the overall organization and promotion and marketing of the tournament. So you're in USA at the moment, and you had some interesting things to say to me yesterday about the marketing and the overall promotion of the tournament. How much of the marketing and promotion side have you seen in the streets of New York and the US?
I mean, there isn't any. I was just in the city earlier today in the morning, and there's two fan parks with a screen, and that's it. There's in I was at Times Square the other day in the evening, and there was one banner. So Times Square, just to paint you a picture, Times Square is sort of a billboard in itself. It's just advertising commercials all across, and you could get as many ads as possible. Obviously, it comes with money, but again, ICC has lots of money, so it comes
Sure
with
does.
money. And I could all I was trying to find where there's any ICC T20 World Cup advertising hashtags, photos of players, anything, and all I could find was like a banner ad, which was sort of a scrolling on the TV, maybe like a 20 by 20 banner that just kept saying hashtag cricket is here, hashtag cricket is here, hashtag cricket is here. That's all. That's all. And every 5 minutes it would show ICC T20 World Cup from so and so till 22nd of July or whatever.
But what does that mean to someone who doesn't know cricket or doesn't
Doesn't it
understand
doesn't
it?
mean
Like,
anything. It doesn't mean anything.
because for me, I come from a marketing background. I work in marketing. You've got to
captured attention to someone. Yes. Oh, what's this?
Yes, absolutely. And I saw a post on ICC's official handle the other day of a guy. He's an American guy. He's just in his budgie smugglers or undies, sort of with the USA, sort of in the USA colors with a hat and a guitar, and just singing that cricket is here, and he's just screaming in faces of just random people walking by in Times Square. And when I was at Times Square the other day, I saw 10 other people sort of in that same in that same category, and they were just random people doing nothing. And that's what Times Square is. You will see so many random things around. People just don't pay attention. They just keep walking. It's like Federation Square in Melbourne, or sort of near the Opera House in Sydney. It's just people just sitting and just looking at shit, and they just don't care about anything else.
Especially Australians, we've got we've got a box in our brain.
Yep.
There's nothing in it, and we tap into that box on a regular basis. I'm telling you,
that is so true.
But you know what? I'd have cricket like baseball, but better. Wouldn't that capture an American's mind?
That would be fun.
And it's a bit controversial, but it'll capture attention and get people thinking, what's this?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You got to capture attention and go, okay, it's like baseball, but they're saying it's better. What is this? You know?
Absolutely.
Get them to ask the question. If they go, cricket is here, ICC Cricket World Cup, what does that mean? What does that mean to somebody?
I haven't seen any collaborations with the big sports in USA. The NBA finals are on, the baseball is happening at the moment.
That's a great idea.
Exactly. The biggest, probably NBA would be a bigger sport than any other sport here. And there's absolutely no collaborations, no nothing. You know, they had, I think, a couple of collaborations.
Use players exactly. From these different sports to promote the cricket and to get people talking about it. And
there you go.
You know, yeah.
But nothing.
You could have a really good, interesting, fun marketing campaign with different platforms, different channels.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't been done, right?
And the organization, like the management of the game itself. I was, like you said, at the game yesterday, India versus Ireland. Firstly, I'm staying in New Jersey. The game was happening in Nassau County, which is like Long Island, which is across New York City. So there's like a 1.5 hour drive on a good day. Then yesterday, obviously, the game was happening at 10 a.m. So we had to leave at 7 o'clock from where we live. And I spoke to most of the people around us, and I saw a lot of tweets as well. And people... So it's like the ground is in the middle of nowhere. It's just a park along a highway. They've just built lots of scaffolding and lots of seats there. So no one lives there. So absolutely no one lives there. It's not a residential area or anything. So people have to travel from New Jersey or New York. Traveling in New York is as horrible as traveling in Sydney or Mumbai. The traffic is absolutely horrible. And it's just not a car. It's just not a city that you can use car at peak times. You know, there's no public transport closer to the stadium. A couple of people came there by public transport. They had to sort of get the subway from New York and change a couple of trains. And the closest station was like 30 minutes away. So they had to. To their credit, they organized shuttle buses from the station to the stadium, but that was again 25 minutes from the parking lot where we parked the car. It was like a 20-minute walk, or again take the shuttle bus, but the shuttle buses were not enough. There were like lines, there was queues up to 15 minutes for one shuttle bus. So again, you could just walk there in those 15 minutes and 20 minutes, but it's just, and everyone was talking like, you know, you could get a good stadium within the city, like a MetLife stadium, or just there are stadiums already existing within the sort of boundaries of the city, and build a stadium there. But yeah, it was just absolutely, you know, not a great experience. And there was no, I saw a lot of tweets during the 50 over World Cup in India when the free water bubbler ran out of water, and people were sort of arguing as to why this is happening, the richest board and whatnot. And then here there were absolutely no free bubblers anywhere. You have to buy a water bottle, and you have to sort of buy everything pretty much. There was no facilities aside from the port-a-loos or the toilets. So yeah, overall, coming back, it took us 3 hours, but the traffic was horrible as well yesterday. So yeah, overall, the cricketing side was good. India won, brilliant game from India, but the management could have been a lot better.
Well, that's the thing, when you got a game at 10 a.m. in the morning on a weekday, you're going to get stuck in peak hour traffic in New York, right? So the thing is, it's all well and good having a tournament in the USA, but as we spoke about, how much marketing and promotion are you actually doing, one, and how are you going to promote the game to US audience on a weekday morning?
That's the cost
everyone
of
that
the work ticket.
In doing, and the cost of the tickets, but particularly the time zones. You know, if you want to get people watching on TV or get people knowing about it, you're doing it in the morning on a weekday. And I understand you want to cater to the Indian time zone. I get it. But then why host the tournament in the US then?
Mm.
If that's your main goal to get the games in front of the Indian audience, okay, then host it in the subcontinent somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
If you want to do it in the US, you've got to do it properly, because, of course, there's a big market there and there's a great potential for it, but there's a way of going about it and there should be better planning. And your experience is an example of, well, if you're going to do this to fans, well, then fans are going to really find it difficult to go, because you make
absolutely.
It difficult for them. You make it challenging for them to get there.
Yep. But again,
so your day started, what, 7 a.m. in the morning, you left home, and then you didn't get back to, what, 5:30 at night?
So we left
crazy.
The stadium.
20 game.
Yeah, we left the stadium around 2:15, 30 wow. past, half past two. And yeah, got stuck in New York in the city. And then, came home by 5:30, which was a long day for a T20 game.
That's
so
a,
we were actually,
a very long day.
The time that we spent in the car was actually a lot more than we actually spent watching the cricket. So,
yeah, of course.
It was it was interesting. It was funny, but yeah. Speaking only about the actual cricket, it was fun. Obviously, as an Indian fan, so yeah.
Yep, and in terms of ticket prices, because you spoke to me as well yesterday about stands being empty, and particularly in the premium seating area, is that because it's difficult to get there, or ticket prices are through the roof?
I mean, they just thought that they could munch off Indian fans who will pay anything for any game. It wasn't the case. They did not release enough tickets. They gave the tickets away to their sponsors, the partners who are sitting in India. And I've heard things from my Indian friends and family who are back in India saying, oh, our sponsor, our company who sponsors ICC have two tickets with them, but they are physical tickets and back in India. And who's how's that even possible? So it was really funny to hear that. And it's just not the way to manage a world tournament.
No. And it's the USA's victory over Pakistan that has really generated the awareness of cricket in the country. It's not what the ICC have done in terms of promotion and all this sort of stuff. It's actually USA's win. If Pakistan beat them easily, then
ICC owe a lot to Pakistan then.
They do. They do.
Yep.
But you got Americans talking about cricket because the USA beat Pakistan in a big upset, you know?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, fascinating stuff. But as we've said, it's blown that group wide open. And in the next group, well, Scotland have really fought back. Just before we finish up, just Scotland are now 4 for 123 in 16.2 overs. They need 33 to win from 22 balls.
Yep. I'm a ball behind. Yep. I'm a ball behind. I'm at 16.1 still.
Oh, yep. Okay. So I've just ruined one for you, but he's just hit a six. So,
yep.
They've done well. The Scots, they've fought right back, and it could be another very close finish. But Scotland look the favourites to seal that one.
Absolutely.
So, and that'll put Scotland on 3 points if they win. So it'd be very fascinating to see that group as well. So the T20 World Cup just starting to heat up. The USA beating Pakistan in a huge, huge result. Pakistan all to do now. So bad from them, but.
Yep.
We'll see how they bounce back. Nash, thanks for your time over in the US. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your time there. Good luck to India. Not too much, though.
Thank you. Good luck to Australia as well. Thank you. We'll be doing this again next week. Hopefully, our times match. And yeah, really looking forward to what happens in the next week before we talk again.
Yep. See you, Nash. Thanks, everyone. And good luck to all the teams in the World Cup.